Now, we have to talk about this because it affects the 99.9% of people. So a recent report in the UK said some high street coffees are 5 times stronger than other leading brands. So the question is, how careful should we be about the amount of caffeine we are getting into our bodies every single day? I mean, are you like presenter Susanna Reid, who said this about coffee?
Well, I thought it was 8, but apparently this morning, Harry in the green room and Mark, who were doing my coffee, said I did 9. But no caffeine after midday.
9 coffees in the morning, though. So is that okay? Well, I don't know. So as someone who does know, we have dietitian Orla Walsh in studio to talk about the world's favourite hot drink, because it is, isn't it, Orla? I mean, we love an L coffee.
We do. I do. Yeah, it is hands down my favourite drink. And, you know, in terms of starting with good news, it is hydrating and it is good for you. It's good for the majority of people. High in antioxidants, potassium in there, some water. Yeah, it's a really handy, tasty, delicious drink.
Good. I'm glad as producer Etna sips her coffee while you said that. So we're okay. I mean, that's mad that you said it's hydrating, so I'd never thought that. But it is a lot of water. So Susanna Reid, presenter in the UK, has 9 cups of coffee before midday. How much coffee can we drink and how much is safe to drink in a day?
That's a hard one to answer because I can only answer in numbers in terms of milligrams. So they used to think 400 milligrams of caffeine a day was okay. Then they were kind of going, maybe it's 300. And if you're pregnant, it's less than 200. Now, to answer that question is, what coffee is she drinking? So
okay,
if the caffeine content varies, and I mean greatly, hugely, from one coffee shop to another, and if the coffee also varies every single day of the week, which is what research says, it's really hard to know how much caffeine she's taking in. So that study showed that you were talking about, that one coffee shop had 5 times as much caffeine as another per espresso. And then there was another bit of research years ago that they went in and ordered the same coffee every day, Monday to Friday. And it ranged from 200 milligrams of caffeine there or thereabouts to 550 milligrams. So it varies greatly. So where people need to be cautious is how many coffees they have, when they have them, and where they're getting them. So if we're having instant at home, it's going to be a lot less caffeine mm-hmm. than and espresso pods as well, or any of those coffee pods. When we have brewed coffee, there's more caffeine in it again, but it will be more from a coffee shop. That doesn't mean don't buy a coffee from a coffee shop. It just means maybe opt for the decaf, especially after the first coffee shop coffee.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good to know. So let's talk about coffee in the supermarket. It often has a score or a number on the pack. Is that to do with flavour or strength? Are they linked? What are they?
Yeah, so it's an interesting one because everyone assumes that it's the caffeine content, but it's actually not. It's the flavour. So if you love your caffeine hit and keep on buying the really strong stuff, but, you know, don't enjoy it as much, rest assured that you can still buy the strength 4 and get as much caffeine. It doesn't actually tell us how much caffeine is in it.
So if we're going to the coffee shop every day, we're in mm-hmm. meetings, we're working from the coffee, whatever, and we're drinking an obscene amount of caffeine, can it kill us? Orla, how bad?
Eventually, but it's the same sort of answer to a question like, how many bananas can I eat in a day, or how many pineapples before I die? Like, it would be so much that I would be shocked if anyone reached it, even Susanna Reid.
Okay, even Susanna Reid. Well, that's good to know. Now, the Road Safety Authority are telling tire drivers, we see it all the time, to pull in and have a coffee and then a nap. It does sound a bit odd, but why does that actually make complete sense?
It makes complete sense because it takes around 45 minutes for 99% of the caffeine to be floating in our blood. So we do this with athletes the whole time, especially swimmers who are, you know, swimming twice a day. Mm-hmm. They would have a coffee and then go for a nap because it helps. It, by the time it kicks into their bloodstream, you should be up anyway. So it's kind of like an internal alarm clock as well. So it won't help stop people going off to sleep, but it will wake them up. And I suppose what's important to note is, not only does it take 45 minutes to get 99% into your system, but it generally takes 5 hours for it to half leave. What I mean by that is that if you have a coffee at 7 a.m., 5 hours later, it's half gone. 5 hours later after that, it's a quarter still left.
Okay.
5 hours after that, eight still left. And that's important to know because caffeine has an impact on sleep. Mm-hmm. And sleep has an impact on every condition and disease and our well-being. And what's incredibly important to know is when you're pregnant, that half-life, how long it takes to leave, can increase by 8 hours. So when it comes to pregnancy, it's really important, especially if you're struggling with your sleep, which a lot of women struggle with insomnia during pregnancy, really cut back on the caffeine and see if that will work, especially in the last trimester. The last few weeks were really caffeine intolerant and we can barely sleep anyway because of the size of us and, you know, all the rest and reflux and things. So again, especially in the last weeks, reduce the caffeine because you need to sleep while pregnant because you won't sleep after.
Good, you won't. That's very, very true and good advice. Why do people get headaches when they give up? You hear people who said, oh, yeah, like Donna O'Callaghan has given it up for Lent, but I've heard people who've given it up and start to get headaches. Why does that happen?
Yeah, so if you give it up dramatically, so I always get people to reduce it slowly and because it is a drug as such, and it is a central nervous stimulator.
That's
it was hard for me to say. I obviously didn't have my caffeine this morning. But it is. So we do need to actually reduce it slowly rather than come off quickly. Because if someone is a big consumer and they just completely eradicate it from their diet, it can do more than give people headaches. You know, they really can't function for days if they do that.
Okay, wow. Oh, what about this one? This, I don't know if it's a myth, but how seriously should we take the idea that coffee helps to burn fat? Is that true?
It does stimulate the central nervous system. It does stimulate the metabolism to a small degree. Where it kind of helps from, if you just say we're getting up in the morning and going for a run first thing and completely on empty, the caffeine will help in terms of getting you up and getting you alert and going for a run. It might help in terms of your performance when running. So you'll run maybe further or faster or harder. And it can help what we call liberate fat just to a small degree. But I wouldn't take that too seriously because apart from anything else, how many people eat a biscuit with their coffee or, you know, especially tea. Tea seems to be worse. People tend to like consume more biscuits with tea mm-hmm. than they do with coffee. But it just depends in terms of how much sugar you're putting into it.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. And why might a coffee first thing in the morning not be a great idea?
So there was a study done and it showed that if we had poor sleep the night before and we had a coffee on empty, it actually plays havoc with our blood sugar levels. So what, and then if we have a coffee with our meal, it can actually reduce our absorption of some of the nutrients within the meal, especially the likes of iron. So actually you're better off waiting, having your breakfast and then having your coffee after, even 30 minutes after will help. But I, for a lot of people, I just say coffee and tea, keep them between meals rather than before or with meals. However, if you have the likes of hemochromatosis, which is iron overload, mm-hmm. that's a kind of a situation where you might go, actually enjoy your tea and coffee with your meal because we want to stop the iron from being absorbed.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so with everything in diet, it's always like context matters.
Yeah.
So people are go, you know, should I stop eating jellies? And I'm like, well, if you're type 1 diabetic and you're having a hypo, then no, you know, or if you're on a bike and cycling 100 kilometers, then no, they're good for you. So all questions in dietetics are context matters. Mm-hmm. And I usually give an answer and then go, but,
because you have to, absolutely. Okay, well, let's go back because everybody, we love our coffee. It's the most popular hot drink in the world. So let's talk about the benefits again. So the benefits of drinking coffee, it's delicious. It's hydrating, you said.
Yes, it's full of antioxidants and antioxidants are really good for us and important for us, especially as we age. But there was these studies that followed people for longer than 5 years and showed that it helps reduce the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes and certain types of cancer like liver cancer. And in terms of liver health, coffee appears to be quite good. But again, don't do that as don't drink so much coffee that you can't sleep because then it negates the benefits. So again, keep it to the morning
time. There you are with your butts.
There I am with my butts, so many butts. Keep it to the morning time and keep it to maybe less than 3. But yeah. Enjoy decaf all day.
Okay. You know. Okay. There we go. How does that make you feel? Does that make you feel better about your coffee consumption? It makes me feel great, to be honest with you. And I think my coffee has just kicked in because I had around 45 minutes ago. Dietitian Orla Walsh, thank you so much for coming in to explain a little bit about caffeine and the pros and the cons. And what do you think, guys? Have you any idea how much caffeine you're getting into? You can text me 51552. 2FM. Jen Zamparelli. Thanks for your text into 51552 about your caffeine intake. Stephen here says, just on the topic of caffeine, I would have up to 3 cans of Red Bull a day and 2 or 3 cups of very strong coffee just to keep me functioning. Is this okay? Well, as a dietitian, Orla Walsh said, probably, you know, it depends. I think the recommended dosage of caffeine is around 300. It was 4 and then went down 3. So you need to check how many milligrams of caffeine you're actually having. Is Jen said, I'm pregnant and I get mum shamed every time I grab a caffeine coffee with anyone. I keep telling people that I'm allowed 1 coffee a day, but I'm all right. Could coffee shops be stronger than the recommended 200 milligrams per day? 200 milligrams for a pregnant lady. No, I'm sure you're fine with that. And as Orla Walsh said, it just takes longer for it to come out of your system and you don't want it to disturb your sleep on the other end because pregnant women need to sleep. Someone else who we've probably woken up from a nap is Donnacha O'Callaghan, who gave up coffee because he's mad. He's on a breakfast show and he gave up caffeine for Lent and he's on the line. Donnacha!
Hi, Jen. How are you?
Why did you give up coffee? What's wrong with you?
Basically, I gave it up because my kids were giving up sweets and chocolate for Lent. So there needed to be a like-for-like sacrifice on their end.
Okay.
So they basically said, they'd be like, yeah, him giving up sweets is no problem. So, like, let's hit him where it hurts. Let's take away coffee.
Okay, so, and did it hurt you? I mean, how many coffees were you having a day?
Yeah, I'd say I could be in around kind of maybe 4, some days 5 if I was travelling a little bit. Mm. You know where I miss it badly is socialising. I actually find it great for meeting and having the chats around it. And that's the part of it that I miss.
Okay.
Probably what you mentioned to Orla happened to me really early on with this. The first 2 days I definitely had headaches. Because I went, you know what I mean, after Pancake Tuesday, that, you know what I mean, I was done. So, and you're right.
Okay, so you've given it up. It's been a while now. So you've had the headaches in the beginning, but how do you feel about it now? I mean, are you still missing it? Are you going to go back after Lent? How's it all going?
Yeah, I haven't missed it all that much, bar the social side. You know what I mean? Like, we're quite active, get out and about. Yeah. And it seems to be the place to go. You know, we'll walk over there and the kids might get a hot chocolate and we'll get a coffee or something like that. So,
what are you having instead, Donnacha?
Ooh, you know what? Orla made a good point. Tea can be the devil because tea allows you to want biscuits for some reason. It feels like being back in your nan's house, doesn't it?
Oh, my days. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah.
So will you go back onto coffee? Because I know isn't your first time. You did this last year.
I did it last year.
But will you go back to drinking coffee after this?
Yes. I'm actually looking forward to having a coffee on Easter Sunday. Another thing, though, Jen, I think you're right. I think there is higher caffeine levels in certain chains. There is certain chains I would go to, and after I'd say, I'm going to have one of those coffees, and I'm going to attack the house, top to toe, I'm going to clean it. You know what I mean? It gets me psyched up. I've come in the door and they're, give me a pair of marigold gloves. Let me have it, yeah.
Well, listen, your body is a temple and all that. You really look after it. I love to see it. Donnacha, go back to doing what you're doing. Thanks for taking the call and I'll chat to you soon. Thanks, love. Bye. There we go. Donnacha O'Callaghan, not a bother to him. But I didn't think about that, the social aspect of it. It's a real social thing. Do you want to meet for coffee? It's not really about the coffee. It's about the chat. You go out and about. You have a little walk, a little hike. Do you want to go for a coffee after? I'd miss that. But thanks be to God. Orla Walsh came on and said, we're okay. I mean, even Susanna Reid, who said this.
Well, I thought it was 8, but apparently this morning, Harry in the green room and Mark, who were doing my coffee, said I did 9. But no caffeine after midday.
Okay, so it just depends on the caffeine intake. So just be careful of that, but coffee is fine. Don't be taking away our coffee. 2 Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.